Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, there's a new trend, and it is a pernicious one. This is Wretched Radio. There is a word that is being bandied about, the semantic range. It is being expanded to the breaking point, and it is being used by YouTube gurus to encourage you to torture people. I'm not kidding. There are a number of videos on the YouTube machine that talk about narcissists. And they define a narcissist as anybody from somebody who is like totally, completely self-obsessed, which I think the word narcissist, when you think about some of those extreme cases where it is nothing but me, and they just no acts of kindness, and they're just consumed with self. Okay, fine. You want to use the term narcissist to describe some perhaps extreme behavior that is manifested for people to see. But I would argue we're all narcissists, because narcissism has the root of pride. And is there anybody who doesn't have that? Here's the trend on the YouTuber machine. They use the term narcissist in a very stretched, with a stretched definition, to include anybody who kind of focuses on themselves ever. Or anybody who disagrees with you. Or anybody who says, I don't think I want to go to that restaurant. That person is immediately labeled a narcissist. And what then should you do? I'm not kidding. Torture them. I'm looking at my files. Here's 4 ways to torture the narcissist. That's been seen by over 2 million people. 5 ways to torture a narcissist. That person was overproductive. And on these YouTube videos go. And mostly, not exclusively, but mostly, they're being produced to describe men. Yep, there are a couple that talk about women being narcissists. But overall, the arrow seems to be pointed at men. And I suspect this is contributing to the statistic that should shock all of us. I mean, no. I'm not sure that the gender should be the shocking element, but there's something about the statistic that women are actually initiating more divorces than men that should cause us to go, what? Something's up. And I think a part of it, not the totality, but a part of it is the encouragement online to define that person that you said I do with as a narcissist. And then what do you have? You have then permission or license to torture them or leave them, which is what you're about to hear. This is a trend. And this is something that I think is perfectly in alignment with our therapeutic society, the society that encourages you to focus on you, and anybody who disagrees with you is toxic. And it's, I think, helping to drive up the divorce rate. I think it's keeping people from getting married. Why? Because we've expanded the semantic range of what it means to be a narcissist to anybody who does anything that gets up your nose. Well, guess what? You ain't going to be able to be married to anybody who doesn't do something that agitates you in some way, shape, or form, whether intentional or not. This is one woman. She's a guru. These are 7 signs of a narcissist. So we'll get the definition, and I think you'll get the point pretty quickly. It's like, well, she's kind of describing everybody here. And then we'll get about the business of learning how to torture the narcissist.
Now, narcissists are marked by an inflated sense of their own self-importance.
Huh. Jimmy, you ever have a inflated self of self-importance?
Every day.
Huh.
Whether it's overtly or covertly.
Well, okay. That's that. Don't blur those two, because I think in order to be a narcissist, it needs to really be manifesting itself in a way that affects people, because we all have an inflated view of self. That's precisely our problem.
They struggle in genuine relationships because they lack authenticity.
Ah, they lack authenticity.
Yeah. She does lack authenticity. She's a narcissist.
See what they're doing there?
Authenticity is when what's on the inside matches what's on the outside, like the orange tree. And narcissists are kind of like aliens that come to this planet and have to copy the behaviors of others that will get them what they want.
This is all about being self-centered to the point of manipulating everyone to simply achieve one's own personal goals. That's what narcissism has become. That means you have never met an individual, a human being on this planet who isn't a narcissist. This is not carefully defined. This is broadly defined. And it is giving people what they believe is some sort of scientific explanation for that annoying behavior that allows them to have an out. And this goes on and on. Here's the next clip.
The one sign that you need to be on the lookout for when it comes to spotting a Christian narcissist is...
Hold on. A Christian narcissist. Jimmy, you better put up a shield. This one might be aimed at you.
Phoniness. Huh? They're fake. You see, like that beautiful bowl of fruit that was sitting on my mother's dining room table, they put on a good front. But there's very little, if no substance, behind that facade.
Go, you got the metrics for this, madam? Because I could tag anybody, including myself, on this. You know, you go to church and you act one way, and then you get in the car, and sometimes you're not as happy. Narcissist! See what they're doing there? Now, by the way, the trend, I think, is so big. Not the biggest trend on the internet, is so big. Now we don't just have narcissist videos. We have Christian narcissist videos.
Number one, fake humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Oh,
Philippians 2:3 tells us, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more.
All right, here's it. Great. Thank you for the Bible verse. Appreciate it. You can't go wrong with that, but... When somebody does not adhere to that standard, narcissist, that's just going too far. That's taking attributes or propensities or are just part of our sinful proclivities that are still embedded into our flesh and giving it a diagnostic term of narcissist. Therefore, if you identify any of these trends, you're living with a narcissist. You're living with somebody that you really need to torture. So let's get to four ways to do just that.
Step number one, and probably the most powerful one, this is the basis for everything else I'm going to be able to teach you today, is you must reduce the narcissist's significance in your life.
You must reduce their... Okay. So that means you don't have the bandwidth or something like that. You don't have the emotional space. You just basically need to chill them out or... Dude, just cut him off. Just what do you call it when you do the? Wow, this is pathetic. When you block them, you don't allow. You just don't respond to their emails or phone calls anymore. That's how you treat the narcissist.
Do not fake this. Do not act as though they are no longer as significant as they used to be. Make them less significant than they used to be.
I'm just trying to think of the Bible. Now, this guy doesn't claim to be a Christian. The previous woman did. This guy does not. He's just one of the gurus online that is making a heyday with this narcissism business. He's telling you, if you know somebody with any of those propensities, which we all have, that's the deceptive part of this trend. We all act like that. Therefore, you're a narcissist, so you need to get them under control because they're just self-serving in every single regard. And you need to get them out of your life. Name that Bible verse. Name that Bible verse. What is the scripture that says when somebody's difficult to live with, you need to reduce their significance? Can you think of one? I can't. Instead, I can think of dozens and dozens of Bible verses that say the opposite. Now, let's be clear. Can there be relationships that are ultimately so bad for you that you have the proverbial permission to say, you know, that person is not healthy for me? And the answer to that is yes. It's more of an exception than a rule, but yes, you can do that. because they're influencing you in a spiritually detrimental kind of way. But that's not what is going on here. Because of the broad definition of narcissism, anybody who bugs you, they're a narcissist. Therefore, dial them back. Get them out of your life. Get them under, lessen their significance. That is the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Esteem others as better than yourself. That we should one another with one another. That we should lift one another up, not chill them out.
If you want to create distress, if you want to create anguish. On-
you hear what he's saying? You want to create distress? You want to get them? You want to get that narcissist?
Certainty, insecurity, and paranoia. You must reduce their significance. Don't fake it because they're smart in terms of detecting other people's emotional states.
They have these narcissists. Yeah, they're really devious. What? Why do you? You're squirming thing, in there.
He says, if you want to torture a narcissist, yeah, you have to become a narcissist. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, the irony is a wee bit palpable. It's a trend. And it's nasty. And it just might be coming to a child near you. Next on Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed. Our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission, equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, "Hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change." Now it seems the whole world's forgotten that climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. What does God's Word actually say about our role as stewards of creation, and how do we separate fact from fear when it comes to climate predictions? Our goal is to equip you with the information that will give you confidence to discuss climate issues from a perspective that honors both science and scripture. You can register for the webinar right now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. It is completely free. The truth about climate change with Dr. Jason Lyle. It is coming up again Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. fortisinstitute.org/webinar.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mom and Dad, perhaps this explains why you have been ghosted. This is Wretched Radio. It is a nasty trend. I run into parents constantly, good Christian parents, not perfect, but they strive to bring up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and now they never hear from them. They have been ghosted, chilled out, and they have been cut off with any communication from their children. And you're scratching your head and perhaps trying to put your heart back together. What did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? Well, of course, you sinned, but I'll presume that you've repented for those things. In other words, you were just a typical parent. Why did your kids decide to block you? They don't even see my texts anymore. They don't even, I get straight to voicemail. Could it be because of a single word that is trending on the internet? Narcissism. These are people, I do not know what their degrees are or aren't. It's even Christian YouTubers that are defining anybody who is prideful, can be selfish, doesn't go along with what you want to do on that particular day. That person is immediately labeled a narcissist. And that means you're dealing with somebody who's toxic. And that means you need to ghost them. Jimmy, you went to the AI machine.
I did.
To look for the language that gets used these days to justify ghosting somebody. What's mm-hmm. List the therapeutic language.
So setting boundaries is the first one. Going no contact. Cutting out toxic people, obviously. Breaking generational trauma.
Oh, yeah. Because those parents traumatized me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Protecting my peace.
Sure. Okay.
And my chosen family.
Oh, in other words, not the people. I get rid of those people because I didn't choose them. I'm going to surround myself with people who affirm me. If you're young, please try to grasp this. Please. Your parents, they do not have a parental gear. When God gives two human beings a child, it becomes a part of their DNA. Their number one response to everything that you say, do, or think is safety. Are they going to be okay? Is that a dangerous decision? Is that the wisest decision? They don't need to shift into that gear. That is who they are. And you don't have anybody else like that in your life. Nobody comes close. That's why you can go choose a family and you know what they're going to do? Affirm, affirm, affirm. Oh, yes. I think it's wonderful that you do. Yeah, the Tide Pod Challenge, I'll bet you could be the one to do it best. And you could get a lot of views on the internet. You do the Tide Pod Challenge because I'm your chosen family and I'll never do anything to agitate you. Your parents are going to go, hold on. Do you want to die? What's the matter with you? I know that you weren't born in a barn. Let's put our thinking caps on and let's get this sorted. That's your parent because they care about you more than your unchosen. Your chosen.
That's right.
I got to get up to speed. Your chosen family, they will not do for you what your parents do. And that is have your best interests in mind. This could explain, Mom and Dad, why you have been ghosted.
What does that mean? It means that even inside of the relationship, you need to let go of being with them. If it's your mother or father, you've got to grieve the fact that you never had and never will have a mother or father. Grieve, cry, go to therapy, feel sad, write poetry, whatever you need to do. And in the end, you won't be attached to them being a good mother or father. You'll have let it go and you'll have reduced their significance. If it's a romantic relationship.
Why, hold on to the romantic relationship. That's nasty business. This guy, talk about reckless. Giving this ridiculous definition of narcissism, a parent who cares, a parent who says, no, honey, I'm not going to let you go out with those kids. I'm not going to let you drive around in a vehicle with six other teenagers at midnight. No, not going to let you spend your money that way. Yes, I'm going to make you get out of bed and make it. That's not being a narcissist. That's being a parent. And this guy, along with many others, is encouraging not just children, but spouses too. You got to get rid of any. If they bug you, they're a narcissist.
Grieve, cry, go to therapy, let it go, drop the idea they're ever going to be a husband, a wife, a father,
wow,
a mother. They're not. Despair, grieve, and let it go. You will reduce their significance.
There you go. That's how you treat somebody that has been deemed narcissistic. This is, I believe, first of all, an explanation why we are seeing the divorce rates with women initiating the divorce. They've been buying this message. And children, they hear this all the time. You heard the dictionary listing from AI, all the different language that's been created. Basically boils down to cut off people who bug you in any way, shape, or form. That can be your parents. I suppose it can be your children. It can be your spouse. This is nasty business. And second of all, it is so unbiblical. We are called to engage in the lives of people who can be, I'll use their lingo, narcissist. They can have narcissistic tendencies. All right, I see that. And I don't desire, as the actual titles of these videos claim, four ways to torture the narcissist, to torture them. The Bible says, no, you don't torture somebody. You come alongside them. You help them. You support them. You point things out. You encourage them. You don't torture somebody. Galatians, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. That's the message of the Bible. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. John 13, if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That does not fit at all with this message on narcissism. You're supposed to do the exact opposite according to the YouTube gurus.
Step number two, the second piece of advice I've got for you, the second method for torturing a narcissist would be to challenge their narcissistic idealized self.
Okay. He just says it so glibly. I'm going to teach you. Here's the next step in torturing somebody.
The third tactic I'm going to show you to torture the narcissist is probably the healthiest thing I'm going to suggest today.
All right.
You go to therapy. Huh? Really go to therapy. Don't go to therapy to torture them. Go to therapy to heal. Go to therapy to get better. Go to therapy to get over the relationship with them, to grieve the relationship with them, to let it go. Go to therapy to heal the wounds that caused you to get into that relationship with them and start to live a better life focused on more joy, more passion, more happiness. Do what you want to do.
And that does what? It tortures them.
The fourth method for torturing the narcissist that I suggest you use, if you feel it's safe and you feel it's right to do so, is to mess with their supply in a very, very specific way.
Mess with their supply. Can you name that Bible verse?
Narcissistic supply was identified decades ago as something that the narcissistic personality disordered individual needs. It's not love. It's not friendship. It's not an authentic, reciprocal relationship with
them. Jimmy, we're going to have to take a Thomas Jefferson-like pair of scissors to our Bibles.
For the human being, they need their own version of love and attention. It's highly narcissistic, and it really is for them like shooting up a drug. It's narcissistic supply.
That is therapeutic lingo 101. And I think it's wrecking a lot of marriages and parental-child relationships. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Colossians 3, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, torture them. I'm sorry, wrong translation. Just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Now, again, the caveat is necessary. Is there ever somebody who is just so detrimental to your spiritual growth that wisdom says, I need to dial it back? Yes, there can be those instances. That is not what is going on here. They're labeling everybody as that sort of extreme behavior by giving them a label of narcissism. so you can ghost him and cut him off and create your own peace or whatever it was that Jimmy just read. If you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father also forgives you. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Galatians, bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. Encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, Hebrews 10, 24. Romans 15, 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good and to his edification. This narcissistic trend online, nasty business, and entirely anti-biblical. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, the production of Fortis Institute. A new report coming from the UK just told a different story than we're used to hearing. As it turns out, church attendance is up 50% in 6 years. And that biggest surge is coming from young men. Just a few years ago, only 4% of guys 18 to 24 were showing up. Now that number sits at 21%. Meanwhile, in Kansas, lawmakers overrode the governor's veto of a bill that protects foster families who hold biblical convictions. Governor Laura Kelly tried to block it, essentially saying Christians shouldn't be allowed to foster if they won't use preferred pronouns. But this time, the legislature didn't cave. They stood up and said what the Supreme Court said in 2021. Kicking people of faith out of the system doesn't protect children. It actually hurts them. Well, Constellation Brands, the makers of Corona and Modelo, just dropped their DEI program. They severed ties with the Human Rights Campaign, and this is all part of a trend. John Deere, Harley, Tractor Supply, they're all quietly walking away from the woke agenda, and not because they found Jesus, but because they found backlash. President Trump's new tariffs are raising eyebrows. Obviously, we all know that, but he just cranked up even more on Chinese imports, up to 125%. But smartphones and semiconductors, they're exempt. That's the head scratcher, especially for conservatives who watch big tech profit off Chinese labor while shipping American jobs overseas. Obviously, there's probably way more to this than I know, but from an outsider looking in, if you're going to swing the sword, don't play favorites. To Missouri now, where lawmakers are pushing a new ballot measure that would reverse last November's abortion amendment. The change would outlaw abortion with narrow exceptions for rape, incest, and true medical emergencies. Pro-lifers say voters were duped the first time. And to Kentucky, where the staff at Circle Clinic allegedly offered hormone therapy to a 15-year-old despite the state law banning it. The university says they followed the rules, but undercover recordings suggest otherwise. And to Idaho, where two pro-life centers are lawyering up. The Thomas More Society is defending them after abortion activists filed harassment complaints just to bury them in red tape. That's persecution. It's not accountability, and it's a reminder that these pregnancy centers aren't just clinics. They're outposts in a war, and they're not backing down. Good on them. And in Massachusetts, corruption comes home as Democratic State Representative Christopher Flanagan has been indicted on federal charges, including wire fraud. Prosecutors say he stole tens of thousands from a nonprofit, spending it on everything from mortgage payments to psychic readings. Apparently, the psychic didn't see prison coming. He's facing up to 120 years. Scripture said it first. You can be sure your sin will find you out. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Lessons in Doing Professional Broadcasting. This is, don't talk like that. That's lesson number one. This is Wretched Radio. Rehearse. You're going to, don't just go on the air without prepping the other person and hope for a good result, because it's usually going to be a bomb. Case in point. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
How, What are you doing for the rest of the day? Because I was thinking, let's you and I go to dinner, baseball game, and then we'll go down to Callaway Gardens. It's about a 3-hour drive, and we'll go walk, and are we going to bond? And we'll look at the azaleas blooming.
No, yeah.
Should have you home at about 3 this morning. Next morning. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. You want to do it?
Yeah. Do I have to work tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Toxic! Narcissist! See what I did? Hey, it actually worked out. So forget that lesson in doing professional broadcasting. We have been wrapping people in cotton now for decades, telling them that the world exists to please them. And anything or anyone who does not affirm them, who does not make them totally happy, anybody who gets up their nose in any way, shape, or form is now being labeled a narcissist. I'm sorry for beating the horse, but it is one of my spiritual gifts. This is an important trend, and I think it's contributing to the division in families that we are seeing. Honestly, I find it so grievous, the number of good Christian families. Please don't buy the social media lie that everybody else's family is perfect but yours. They're not. They're just not. It is by the Lord's grace. When you meet somebody who says, you know, I've got 3 kids and they all love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're married, they got kids, increasingly that's the exception. The rule is, yeah, 2 of my 3 kids, oh, pray for them, would you? And you know the individual, you know those parents, and you're like, they're godly people. They're not at home Joan Crawfording their children, their loving, godly parents, and their kids ghost them? What in the world is going on? And I think in part, we can attribute to this family fracturing to the misuse of the word narcissism. Narcissism being defined as you bug me, you don't agree with me, you don't go along with me, you're a narcissist. Good luck getting along with anybody on the planet, especially when the gurus online tell you what you need, therefore, to do with a narcissist is, I kid you not, torture them. This is what millions of views, these videos are reaping, because people are, it tickles the ears. Yeah, my spouse does bug me. She's a narcissist, although usually this is aimed in the male direction. Nevertheless, my husband, he's such a narcissist. And you know what the girlfriends say? Oh, he's a narcissist. You need to cut him out. You don't need to put up with that girlfriend. You need to get away from that. You know, he doesn't deserve somebody like you. And that is happening far more often than maybe you are aware of it because you've experienced it. And how's about the kids that leave their parents and won't talk to their parents who adore them? Absolutely adore. If you've ghosted your parents, okay, I guess there can be some parents out there that are just awful. And I know there are, because when we talk about this subject, I do hear from people who say, you have no idea how horrible they were. And I'm sorry for that. But that's, in Christian circles, that's the exception. If you grew up with Christian parents, yeah, they wanted you to believe what they believe. They wanted you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to go to heaven. They want good things for you. They want lovely fruit being born in your life. That's what they want for you. And if you've ghosted them, I think that you are going against the grain of the entire message of the New Testament. That's not how you treat anybody, let alone your parents. You're called to honor them. You're called to love them. You're called to take care of them, not to ghost them by labeling them a narcissist. Listen to the Bible is replete with the opposite message of these YouTubers who are giving you 5 reasons to torture the narcissist in here, to torture them?
Number 1, do not take the bait when they are acting out. Understand that a narcissist is a developmentally arrested child stuck in an adult's body.
There. Yeah, that's what my husband is. He's a child stuck in an adult's body. He wants to go out with his buddies to bowl sometime. Do people still go bowling? Actually, we're doing bowling. We're going to be doing a youth event at church. We're going bowling just to hang out together. And you know what that means, don't you? I'll be throwing a pair of socks away. Because when I'm done, those bad boys are not going on my little piggies ever again.
Therefore, they have all the capabilities of an adult, but the maturity is of a child, which means they are going to be aggressive. They are going to be irrational. They are going to project things, say things that are completely far away from the reality, which means that you cannot take them and what they say serious.
Okay, so the people in your life, don't take them seriously. That'll torture them. That's how you deal with the narcissist. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. I don't think you're going to run into the word torture. The only place where I can actually think the word torture could be rightly used to describe any Bible verses would be the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the treatment of Paul at the hands of religious leaders who hated him, or of civil authorities who threw him in jail. They were tortured. You're not being tortured when somebody disagrees with you, but you're called to torture them because that's exactly what they do. The irony in this is thick. 1 Peter 1, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters, listen to this word, fervently love one another. It throws in a prepositional phrase, from the heart. So really, really mean it. Not just pretend to mean it, but fervently, from the guts, you love somebody. You don't torture them. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. 1 John 3, 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he, Jesus, commanded us. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Associate with the individual. Of course, everybody has pride. It doesn't make them a narcissist. It makes them an unglorified human being. Ephesians 5, subject yourselves to one another. Matthew 20, whoever wants to become prominent shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. This message from these internet gurus is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. Don't buy the lie. Now, that does not mean that you cannot confront somebody in their sin. Of course you can. We're not peace fakers, we're peacemakers. And that can mean we actually bring things up. We don't torture them by cutting them off, lessening their significance so that we can have the upper hand and our world will revolve once again around us. Hey, wait a second. Isn't that what the definition is about a narcissist? How ironic is that?
Number two, remember to deflect when they try to manipulate and gaslight you. When they start messing up with your head, when they start messing up with your thoughts, beliefs, and emotions, hold on to your truth and say...
Hold on to your truth. Okay. So this, again, we must understand how it is that they're defining the narcissist. This is not the individual who is just constantly yelling, won't do anything, won't go along with anybody, insists that all the applause go to me. Everything focuses on me. Every meal that we have is about me. And that could be a narcissist, if you want to use the term. That it's somebody who is so self-absorbed, it's like, woo. But that's not what they're saying the narcissist is. They've expanded that to mean somebody who doesn't make your day perfect. They're a narcissist. That's what we need to understand is happening here. It is the expansion of the definition of narcissism that then allows them, they've got the suitcase, now they can pack it full of disinformation about torturing the narcissist. Do you know how many husbands and wives too, but mostly husbands, have been divorced because of this type of nonsensical preaching, which is totally, laughable because what they're encouraging you to do is to actually be a narcissist to deal with a narcissist. It would be a knee slapper if it weren't so tragic. Thankfully, we have a plumb line. We have a book that helps us to know how to deal with somebody who isn't a narcissist, but they're a, you know, sinner. And we'll share that. And I'm not talking about the tennis player. We'll share that next on Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man, you can't write this stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Listen for the irony. This is a YouTube video encouraging you to torture the narcissist in your life as defined by them as anybody who doesn't agree with every single syllable that comes out of your mouth. They're a narcissist. Here's how you're supposed to torture them. If you have something like parasmia. Do you know what parasmia is? It is actually a label that was given by, it came before COVID, but a number of people who had COVID ended up getting something that where their noses got busted, and when they would eat, food tasted rancid, or they would walk, chocolate chip cookies are baking, and it's like, whoa, get me out of here, that smells disgusting. So if you have parasmia when it comes to the scent of irony, you might want to put a clothespin on your nose now.
Say it in their face. And what you believe is not what my truth is. And you are entitled to believe what you want to believe. And my truth is known to me. And that is what matters the most.
Me! I'm the one that matters the most, you narcissist. I mean, really? You could put me in a room with a box of crack and I couldn't come up with something more ironic than that. That is utterly ridiculous and it is so unbiblical, and we need to be encouraged not to torture somebody who sins, not to torture somebody who doesn't do everything that I prefer. And it doesn't mean that you can't even go to your elders if you've got yourself a husband who, or even a wife who is really nasty and you need some support. Doesn't mean that. But that isn't what it's at play here. This is a semantic shell game. So we define the word narcissist as anything contrary to anything about you. Well, then suddenly the label fits on everyone. And then when you can slap that label on just your bread and butter husband or wife or parents, and you call them a narcissist, then you have scientific therapeutic ability, because you've been given the authority through a diagnostic label to respond to them in unbiblical ways. We're not called to torture people. This is, and you know what, sadly, this sings to us, doesn't it? Because you can call me a narcissist if you want to. I think the word has virtually no meaning these days. But I also happen to prefer that everything happens my way. There's a shocker. And so do you. And so does Jimmy. So do we all. We all like our own preferences. What do you want to eat for dinner tonight? You know, I don't know. What are you in the mood for? I was thinking turkey meatloaf. No. We've got preferences about everything. That isn't narcissism. That's called human. And if we are all going to be labeled as narcissists, then all we're going to do is chill each other out. It is my propensity. And that is why I fear, because you have that same propensity, why perhaps you are not a member of a local church. Because those people bug you. And that's precisely why you need to be a member of a local church, so that you can grow, so that you can expand, so that you can be patient with one another. Ephesians 4, we're studying that in Bible school at alpharettabiblechurch.org, that we are to be patient and long-suffering and enduring things, putting up with things. It makes us more godly when we do that. The forbearance of God is staggering. And when we remove ourselves from everyone on the planet because we've deemed them to be narcissistic, first of all, it proves if anybody's narcissistic, it's the one that's calling everybody a narcissist because they want their own way in every single regard. Ugh, it's just, this is nasty business that's being played on the internet. And if you possess that mindset or buy that lie, then you're not going to join a church because people do things that you don't agree with, or they don't make the same decision. They don't vote the same way that you do. And if you buy in to this narrative, you're going to vamoose. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to be in that community. If you're married, I'm not talking about physically violent. I'm not talking about being in a dangerous situation. But you've got a husband, you've got a wife, and they do things that aren't in alignment with your whims and your preferences. Don't run. And all the while yelling, I'm leaving because you're a narcissist and I can't put up with you and your behavior because I want everything my way. Then you bought a lie and you are missing out. Stay in the game. You know, Rory McIlroy, speaking of golf, okay, we were at some point. Oh, I never got to the other commercial that we were talking about. The commercial that I saw in the Masters golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there was the one of the kid that was swinging, and you couldn't tell. It's like he had a smooth swing. I think it was the bank commercial that was sponsoring the Masters golf tournament. Swinging the club, but it's like, hey, wait a second. He's only using one arm because he only had one arm. I was like, dude, rock on. Well done. He had actually a very pretty swing. But then there was another commercial
It might have been the bank company talking about how they're sponsoring this national move to get kids to golf. And they're showing these kids out in the golf course, running around, falling down, rolling down hills. Hey, there's no rules out here. There's no one way to do this. Actually, there are. And then they went on to say, and this kind of fits in with this whole narcissism mindset, the only rule is you have fun. Because you don't want to make somebody do something hard, which by my definition actually is fun when it comes to golf. And the commercial actually betrayed itself because they're showing these kids, they're hacking away at the putts, they're goofing off, and they're, you know, jumping into the fountain. And they show this one kid and he biffs the ball and he gets on, hey, there's not one way to do this. And then at the very end, they show the kid just clocking it, hitting a nice drive. And he looks so happy. And it's like, there you go. You got rules so that when you abide by them and you accomplish something good with the confine and the constraint of those rules, that's fun. That's fun. And I was like, oh, that message. And it so minimizes the encouragement to do hard things. Rory McIlroy apparently has done a hard thing. He was going to get divorced. I can't remember how many months ago. Don't track it. But I remember reading that Rory McIlroy announced that he was going to get divorced. And then he announced they're not going to. Now, I don't know the details, but I'll just take it at the surface. Way to go, dude. Way to go. You stayed in the more important game and you fought for it. And I hope he does. And I hope that they live as happily ever after as two unbelievers can. Because marriage is a good institution and it's a good thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is be like Rory McIlroy. I guess that was the moral to that story. Stay in it. Don't abandon your parents. Don't abandon your spouse because it's hard. Of course it's hard. Anytime you put two sinners in the same context, you're going to have conflict. This is the opposite message of the Bible. Slap the label narcissist on somebody and scram. We are commanded to love. It's all over. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And love includes overlooking a multitude of sins. It means forgiving. It means getting in and helping somebody, not chilling them out. Okay, so you think that your parents are toxic? Have you done anything to help them besides yell at them? Have you done anything to lovingly sit down and say, Mom and Dad, love you so much. Can we talk about this? Because I see how you strive for godliness. Can I point this out to you in an effort to perhaps help you in an area where you maybe have a blind spot? Have you ever tried that? Or did you just listen to a YouTube video that says, torture them, get rid of them, cut them off? Not according to the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. This is what we are charged to. And I can go on and on. I've got Bible verse after Bible verse. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. This is Colossians 3. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Let me YouTube that. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, call him a narcissist and get him out of your life. That is not the biblical message. If you're in a marriage, and I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm not talking about safety issues. But your husband is a pain in the neck. It's kind of a pig. She can be a bit of a shrew. She feels needy. Don't call him a narcissist. Don't buy this nonsensical, totally ridiculous lie. Submit to what the Bible says. And here's how you can find the motivation for that. God didn't label me a narcissist and ghost me. He regenerated me. He made me alive in Christ, even while I was a narcissist. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.